that in our lives that you would remind us that even though you are the Amen, the Bible says, so be it. We are not to put you at the bottom after we've done everything we can do. Lord, we need to come to you first. Seek first the kingdom and the kingship of our God. And you will add and you will multiply and you will do so many things that we can't even contain it when it's done with you at the head. Father, I pray your blessing on your holy word upon our ears, Lord Jesus, and upon your honor in this service. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, God pleased brings God's peace. Now, before I start, I want to make an announcement I forgot about. I even wrote it down, and that didn't help. So that's why I don't use journals and calendars. They just don't seem to help. But anyway, the Holy Spirit, he works real well. Yes. So anyway, second week of the month, we pray and fast one day for the children from the crib all the way up. So whatever day, if you can't fast food because of medical condition, the Lord understands that. But fast something that is, you know, don't fast something you don't like asparagus. That, you know, fast something that has meaning and that is a sacrifice to you. How many know we need to pray for the children? You know, even before kindergarten, they're getting the wrong messages now. I mean, they don't even get to probably have hide and seek and some of the stuff we had. The biggest deal in kindergarten that I remember was laying down and sleeping. That was the best part. You had your little mat and you slept. It was great. Didn't learn nothing, but I wasn't supposed to probably. But anyhow, so say you go to a retail outlet. Okay, particularly you ladies, and you go and you're looking for a brooch, like they used to call it, a pin in today's world, and you realize that, first of all, Sylvia Hart and all the pins she has does not have it. So you know it's very unique because she has everything, and they're beautiful, of course. But you go there and you pick out the right pin. Of course, then you know you got to go buy an outfit because you buy your outfits for your jewelry. But at any rate, you get to the checkout. And what they say is, we can't let you buy this. Your check's no good. Your charge count is no good. And you go, okay, there must be something wrong at this store. So you go to another store. And they say the same thing. And you start thinking it's a conspiracy. Well, then you go to some of your friends and say, can I borrow some money? Because I got to buy that pin, I'm telling you. It's eating away at me. But they don't have any money. And you try everything you can do to get that pin. Except maybe the one thing you ought to do is call your bank and find out why your resource is not working. Do you know what we do in a lot of times in the world is we run all the way around trying to solve things or do things, and not that we don't need to do, we need to do, but there are times we're literally getting into God's territory. We're trying to fix something that only God can fix. And we're finding out in our life that while I'm coming up to all these different situations and they're all doors closing on me, maybe it's because I didn't go to the first door, Jesus Christ. That's what this portion of Scripture is talking about in Proverbs. Great Scripture. It's one that I learned years ago. Have quoted a gazillion times and continue to. Proverbs 16:7. I'm going to read 6 and 7. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. And when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Can you imagine that? God is able to make your enemies at peace with you. So surely you should be at peace with your family and friends if he can make the enemies at peace with you, right? Great scripture. Wonderful. And it's important to remember for a couple reasons. But before I get into that, I want to tell you why Proverbs are so important. The Proverbs are basically the Old Testament equivalent of the parables of the New Testament. Remember what the parables were? They were stories out of nature, out of life that Jesus gave to tell spiritual stories and truths. And they could understand them because it was wrapped in a story that they could relate to. Now, we all know as Christians, as believers, that it's a lot deeper than that, okay? The Lord's not simple, but he gives it to us in a more simple way so we can eat it. If he was going to give it to us the way that he really, his fullness, well, we just wouldn't understand any of it. So he has to give it to us in bite-sized pieces, and that's what he's done. The Old Testament, I didn't put this in the word study, but the parables and the what's happening here, the word proverb is a word mashal, and it means a parable, a simile, a short saying that tells something about something. It comes from the root word to be like something. It's an illustration, something that you can relate to. If I was explaining something about electricity, which I know nothing about, I'm sure those that have been electricians would go, oh, that makes sense. Or I would hope they would come up and tell me, where did you get your information? Because that's really bogus. You know, I would like to know if something is not correct. Oh, I have Dave for that. Okay. But you know that these sayings travel in pairs in the Old Testament, particularly called Hebrew parallelism, where the first thought is kind of lays a foundation and the second thought adds more to it. So they're saying the same thing, but then they kind of are identifying it a little bit better. This is preceded by the sixth verse. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Keep the balance of the nature of God, would you? His love, the Hebrew word is chesed, it's his loving kindness and his truth. There's people today that want you to be loving kind, but they don't want you to be truthful. And if you're not truthful, you're actually not really kind because you're lying to them. Somebody that's lying to you is not helping you, right? It's called enabling. It's called a number of things. Now, you don't have to be cruel to tell the truth, but it's important to tell the truth. But if you tell the truth without the mercy, then you're just knocking somebody off. You're not giving them anything to grab a hold of in faith and love and life. So it says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, the word sin here means iniquity. So it's not just the sins that you do in life and I do. It's actually, the Bible calls it the bent to sin. We're all born with a bent to sin. Do you know that? We're not born straight spiritually. We are born sinners. Do you have to teach a child to do good? Yes. Do you have to teach them to do bad? I doubt it. I don't think so. I think we know that pretty instinctively. That's why my mother always called me an imp, because she knew it just came natural. Although she was an expert at it before me. So I guess I got it, as they say, correctly. But anyway, it means the bent to sin. So here we go, and it says, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Do you know how you avoid evil? You have more of a fear of God than you do a fear of people. Bible says fear of man brings a snare. If you're afraid of what people think of you, if you're afraid of what people might have done, whatever the case might be, it will trip you up throughout your life. The fear of the Lord is not a fear that is going to immobilize you. It's actually going to set you free, because it's a fire that burns through all the things that try to destroy us. Okay, this precedes this portion, which I love. Now, when a man's ways, let me remind you, the word man here in the Hebrew means men and women. So women, you don't get out of this. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, makes even his enemies at peace. I love that. I just love that. Because our first concern in life ought to be with the life giver. If you're sitting in a room and it's dark and you're trying to fix and solve problems in the room, you really can't do it till you turn the light on. I mean, what do you do? You'll be basing it all on feel. I'm feeling my way around. Well, you can maybe adjust some things in the dark, but you can also knock into things too. Find them the hard way. So turn the light on. Get the light switch on. Make sure the Lord is alive as your source, not just as somebody you go to. There's a difference between going to Him for our needs, which He allows us to do, thankfully. But He's not just a messenger or a delivery man. He's the Lord Almighty. He's our sovereign. We should be letting Him make the choices, right? Okay? I know you're not totally sleeping yet. So it says, when our ways please the Lord. The word ways here, Derek, in the Hebrew means the way or the road, means the distance, the journey, and the manner in which you live your life. It's speaking of a moral action and character. People don't care about character anymore. You know that? They don't think it has any relevance. The truth is, you know what a character is? It's if you take like a stamp, for instance, and you're trying to stamp an image onto a piece of paper. That stamp has to press into that and make an image, make a character. And it reveals what's on the stamp. We are supposed to reveal the face and the presence of God, not the world we live in, not even where we came from. We're supposed to represent Him more than anything else. And so keep in mind here, it says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. This is not talking about your salvation, because Jesus is the way to salvation. He's the only way. In the singular, He's the only way. You cannot get there by your works. You cannot get there by your effort. You cannot get there by your intelligence. You cannot get there by your church affiliation. You cannot get there by your family. You cannot get there any other way than through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is talking about the ways and the way we deal in life and how that faith is revealed as we go day to day. So, our ways are our road to follow Him. They don't save us. He does. Okay. So the word also comes from Derek, a separate word that meant a road is trodden, but it means in figurative, of course, a course of life or a mode of action. What does your path look like? How much is it trodden down? All the scurrying, all the changing, all the turning, all the things trying to do to get what you feel you want in life. I think we're better off personally if we look at our road and we realize there's not a whole lot of footprints there except one set. And that's God's footprints carrying us. You know you're going to get there faster than if you try to do it yourself. I can guarantee you that, because He'll pick you up and take you there, like that lamb that's held close to Him. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord. You ever met somebody you just can never please? So no matter what you do in life, they've always got to add something and say, well, I'd have done that different. Well, good for you. I did it this way. It's good enough for me. Did you know that you can actually please God? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that He can be satisfied? I'm glad, tell you. The word means to be pleased with and accept favorably, but it comes from a primitive root that means to satisfy a debt. Now, Jesus paid the debt for us in salvation, right? Yes, but as we serve Him, we are, in a sense, paying that debt back. We're not really paying it back because we can't pay it. But don't you think the Apostle Paul felt like he was paying a debt? He knew when he was saved, when the Lord gloriously delivered him, he didn't belong to himself anymore. He belonged to the Lord. And everything he did and everything he said had relevance that only came from the Lord. There's a big difference. We're not paying our salvation. What we're doing is saying, God, my ways to please and satisfy your character, your nature. And in him, because if we're letting him do it, it will happen. Okay? So he says, if our ways please the Lord, that's the one we have to be concerned about, folks. I can't tell you how many people have said through the years, well, I'm afraid of what somebody thinks. So, they might lie to you anyway. And even if they don't like what you're doing, or they don't even like you, I'd rather know someone doesn't like me than have them pretend like they do. Personally, I would rather know. Now, don't all run up at once and say it. Okay. I would appreciate that. But at any rate, it says, because when our ways please the Lord, he's the one we answer to. It makes even our enemies at peace. This is a plural word. We have a lot of enemies, folks. This culture is one of them. There can be people that are. Of course, there's one big hunk of enemy out there. But remember, even the devil can't be everywhere at once like God can. So he dispatches demons. He dispatches his workers to try to bother people. You ever been bothered by the enemy? You might not even know it. He kind of scurries in there like a lot of garbage. You ever get that junk that comes up from your sinks and your stuff in there, down in the lovely sewer system? And it's just disgusting. I mean, you can smell it before you see it. That's what the devil does. You can't see it, but you can smell it. I know something's wrong. I know he's trying to do something. It says, even our enemies will be at peace with us. That word means a foe and an enemy. It comes from a word means somebody who hates and who's an adversary. How would you like to spend time with somebody that hates you constantly, and you're with them all the time, and you know they hate your guts? They would do anything to destroy you, but you spend time with them. And yet we listen to the enemy all day long sometimes. Don't spend time with him. I'm telling you, he's not out for your benefit. He wants to destroy who Jesus Christ is in your life. That's what he's looking to do. It says here, though, that when our ways please the Lord, makes even the enemies to be silent and to be still. And that's wonderful. And makes even enemies to be at peace. This word shalom, when I thought of the Hebrew word, it looks like a word shawl to me. Something that some of you put over your shoulders when you're in cold because you'd like to stay a little warmer. And they're lovely, but they are also helpful when you're cold. And they're put around the shoulders. The shoulders are the place of authority. That's why the Bible says he is the Prince of Peace. The kingdom is on what? His shoulders. You know what happens when we put God first and keep him first? He grabs us and puts his arms around us like a shawl. And he protects us. And he keeps us. And that's a sense of peace that you'll never get anywhere else. Because he's not going to change his mind tomorrow like some people are going to. In fact, some people, 30 seconds and they're done. They're already upset at you. And you didn't even do anything. This word, peace, means to make amends, to be in covenant. I think a lot of the problem in life is we're trying to solve problems even with people, and we haven't put God in the mix. You cannot solve a problem with another part of creation unless God's in charge, because he's the peacemaker. He's the Prince of Peace. This root word means to be safe in mind and body and in a state. How many would like to feel safe in your spirit, like you're settled? Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Your circumstances do not have anything to do with your spiritual state before God. Not at all. So therefore, I was reading something on the internet, and it was talking about France is trying, they're seeking to have a more friendly, seeker-friendly and visitor-friendly country. Because they're the, I think, probably the top draw for people coming around the countries. So they want to be more welcoming. They've actually told their citizens, you are an ambassador of France. But the problem over in France is all their signage, all their things like stop and this and that, everything is in French. So unless you speak French, you can't get through France. Well, you can, but you have to stop and ask people every 2 seconds, or maybe run into a wall, something like that, which I'm sure will kill your vacation. Yes. The question here is this. If we are spiritual beings, which we are, we were created spiritually as well as physically, and we're going to go on our journey in this life, shouldn't we be watching and determining it by the signs and the words and the procedure of God instead of our language? The Bible said Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and end of language. He is language. He is the expression of heaven to earth. You want to get safely around this world? Read his word. Read his signs. Read his language. My concern in life is this, that we're trying to solve problems, but we're not going to the problem solver. Don't worry about what people are doing to you. Pray for them, forgive them. If you need to go and ask their forgiveness, do that. But go to the Lord. Say, God, you know, I'm running all the way around here and my account just seems to be deficit. I don't have the joy I should have. I don't have the peace. I don't really have any patience for people. And if I could just solve them being a rotten person, I could feel better. Well, they're still going to be rotten, probably, unless they come to Christ. No, we go to the source to get our answer. That's how we live. A certain mountain in West Africa was held by a tribe of cannibals as their stronghold. I'm guessing that's not where you go for supper. Troops had tried to cross the mountain but had failed. So one day a missionary went alone in the enemy's country. Calmly climbed into the mountain and reached the other side. Got that far. Later he met the captain of the troops who said, "Do you mean to tell me you got through untouched?" He said, "How did you do it?" And the missionary said, "Ah, you went as a man of war. I went as a man of peace." When your spirit and your life is in conflict and God's not in charge, I can guarantee you, everything you come in contact with will be some kind of turmoil, whether it's there yet or not. When our ways please God, let's live our life to please him. And he'll take care of all the other little ditties that are going around. Fact, I know for a fact that God is taking care of stuff I never even asked him about. I love it. Man, that's fabulous. So why can't he do that for us, huh? Please bow your heads. Are you here today and you have issues in your life? Of course you do. There's a lot of things going on in the lives of the people in the church, which I'm aware of course. I'm so glad we have a fabulous and a God that is so big that we can't even measure it. We can measure our problem to some degree because it looks massive to us, but I guarantee you God's a lot bigger. But you're trying to put out all the little fires in your life. My brother, my sister, let God's fire burn in you. Go to the flame of his presence. And he will take care of everything else as you seek him. To please him, to please your master who's called you, who's forgiven you, who's restored you. And out of that will come the flow That'd be like trying to clean up garbage at the bottom of a river that has other tributaries. If you don't go to the source, you're going to continue to get all of that. So I'm going to ask you today, if, first of all, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ in the first place, he's the one that takes our sins away. He's the one that covers. That's what atone means. It means to cover over by the blood. And you've never had that in your life. If you haven't and you'd like to, I don't know about you, but I don't want to face today or tomorrow or any other day without the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that defeated death. He's the only one coming back again, and he's the only one in charge. Everybody else is trying to boot other people off the mountain. Follow Christ. He's the only one that came here to find you. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, or you've been away from him, you've backslidden, and you want to come home to him, just raise your hand so I can know that and pray for you. Just, I don't want to let anyone leave without an opportunity, just because it's the most important thing in the world. As I put in the bulletin last week, if you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus Christ and forget him, you've lost everything. Don't let that happen. Or maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I'm trying to solve problems, and God expects us to do our part, of course. But maybe you're running low on your own source, and God wants you to seek and please him. But you're not pleasing him in parts of your life. You're trying to be the controller. Let God control. Put it in his charge. When my ways please him and he's satisfied, he's going to take care of everything else just in his grace and his benevolence. So if you're here today and you'd say, pray for me because I think I'm following the wrong end. I'm chasing all these other things and instead of really focusing on my relationship to the Master. And I would like prayer for that. Please raise your hand so I can pray for you. It's very important in our life that we put him first. There's no question about it. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord, for your word. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, because it's so relevant. It's always relevant. It may seem super spiritual, but God, it all comes down to our world as you present it through the Proverbs, the parables, the stories of life that reflect your creation and reflect the way you want us to live in this world. Father, I pray for those that raise their hands that are chasing things in their life. God, we're not giving you an opportunity to be God and to take care of things as you said you do as our Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that our ways would please you, the way we treat others, the way we treat our family, the way we treat our finances, the way we treat the unsaved, the way we treat your house, the way we treat everything, that it would be done with honor and truth, and it would glorify Christ. Lord Jesus, instill it in our soul. Lord Jesus, the only way to get the outflow is to go to the source. Everything else is the debris factor. Father, I pray that you would heal. I pray you'd restore lives. I pray you'd provide financing. I pray that you would restore mental health. I pray that you'd do everything, Lord Jesus, when we're under your authority, Lord Jesus, and put you in charge. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now we'll sing the last song. And you can stand till the storm passes over.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you do pick us up. That's why we can't tell sometimes what's happening, because we're being held in your arms. Oh God, tuck us in so we can hear the heartbeat of the Master for us. Lord Jesus, again, to hear you say it and to sense your love for us is the greatest gift that we'll ever receive. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, your blessing on each one here today. Father, your blessing on the potluck, the fellowship, the food. Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that as we fellowship with one another, remind us, truly our fellowship is with you. You're at each table, at each life. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Without you, there's no reason to do anything. But with you, you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Thank you for that. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing and your benediction of peace. When the enemy roars, oh God, let that still small voice run him out of town, because Jesus is in control. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in a wheelchair or a walker, please go first and have a wonderful lunch.